Legal Q&A with Coulter Roche Lawyers, station sponsor.
The content of this program is intended only to provide a summary and general overview on matters of interest. It is not intended to be comprehensive, nor does it constitute legal advice. Any opinions or recommendations in this presentation have been prepared without taking into account your personal circumstances or needs. You should seek legal or other professional advice before acting or relying on any of the content.
And good morning to Anna Lachlan from Coulter Roche. How are you, Anne?
I'm good, thanks, Mitch. How are you?
Very good. It was good to be on the same table as you at that task force breakfast on Friday morning.
It was. It was quite exciting, wasn't it?
But it was.
I pick up your point about the boulevard in Moorabool Street and no cars.
So yeah.
That would be interesting to delve further into that, I think, Mitch.
Well, that's right. I mean, this is what I was talking about earlier, that every council in Australia loves to draw these drawings, but they all hate cars. And, you know, fair enough, they are a bit of an eyesore compared to these just clean streets with nothing happening on them. But yeah, obviously we're going to have to look at other transport links and especially the issue about buses. But anyway, what's today's topic that we're going to be looking at?
I thought today we'd talk a little bit about child support, Mitch. It's a really complicated area and I don't want to go too much into how the child support agency works and much about the child support legislation because it's a massive, big act for all of us to get our heads around as lawyers. But I thought if we just have a sort of a simplified discussion about child support and what's entailed with child support, it might assist people.
Well, that's right. I think it's a very emotional issue. A lot of people talk a lot about it and, you know, it does get people's backs up a little bit because they think, oh, one side's getting more than the other. And I imagine that because of that and because of being such an emotional issue, it does mean that there are a lot of myths that get out there about it.
There are. And I think that some of the myths that you hear are, without being stereotypical, I have to pay my wife $100 or $200 in child support. How do I know that that goes to the children and that, you know, she's just not spending it on herself? Whereas I think the reality is in most households, you know, there's a certain amount of income comes in and the children still have to be provided for. So, you know, child support probably just goes into the general pot of money that people have to support themselves. But there are a couple of different ways that we can look at how people pay their child support. So I think that's, I thought that's what we could talk about this morning.
Yeah, well, I mean, just on that, and I'm sure it's a very complicated question, but how is that figure calculated? How does the court determine what amount should be paid? Is there a simplified answer?
No, there's not a, well, there's a formula that the child support agency work under. And it depends on a number of factors. One of those factors is how much the paying parent is earning. And then from what they earn, there is a certain amount, which I think it's around $20,000 now, taken off that enables the self-support of the payer. I'll say the person paying the child support is the payer. So there's that sum. So if they're earning $100,000, $20,000 comes off as the money that they need to support themselves. So after that, then you factor in what the person receiving the child support is earning.
Mm-hmm.
So their income's factored in. And then they also plot into the formula how many nights the person paying the child support has the parent.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next factor, which didn't happen many years ago, was the age of the child, because we all know that looking after the costs of raising a one-year-old are very different to the costs of raising a 15-year-old, with the costs of clothing and education and the amount of food they eat. So there's a lot of things plotted into that formula that then come out with the end result. Which you know, there's another issue with that too. If somebody's in their own business, you know, they can within the law reduce their income, and so you know if somebody's got their own business, there's, you know, legal ways around having your income reduced, so then the amount of child support that's paid is reduced. So whereas if you're a salary and wage earner, what you get, what's on your pay slip is what you get, or what's on your taxable income, which is what is used, is actually what you're getting.
So when you say it's the taxable income and that $20,000 is deducted, that's before tax, is it?
That's your taxable income, and then the $20,000 is taken off. Or it's around 20.
Yep.
I'm not sure of the exact
probably
amount.
Probably indexed for inflation as well.
Yes, but when parties do separate, the person who's the primary care of the children would go to the child support agency and ask that there be an administrative assessment made, and then that payment of child support's paid directly to the agency by the person who's responsible for paying, and then is received by the parent who's the recipient of it. Sometimes parties just say, you know, the Child Support Agency website's a great website for people to have a look at, and it has a calculator mm-hmm. on there for people to calculate what the child support is. And sometimes parents agree to just have a private arrangement between themselves. I'll give you $100 a week. That sometimes causes problems because, of course, if the person doesn't pay, then, you know, there's no enforcement as there yeah. is through the agency.
And I suppose the other issue as well is if it's in cash and just money coming backwards and forwards, it's a bit hard to keep track of and maybe hard to prove what payments went where.
Well, you can register with the Child Support Agency and say we are going to have a private agreement. But, I mean, I'm sure people have read that the amount of arrears in child support in this country mm. is massive, where people are avoiding their obligation to pay child support. And if you don't pay child support, ultimately, if you want to leave the country and you have arrears of child support, there can be something called a departure prohibition order, which can be put in place, which prohibits the person who owes the child support from leaving the country until those arrears are paid. So, you know, if you've got a private arrangement, some of those enforcement type things may be a little bit more difficult to enforce.
And obviously that departure prohibition only really applies to people that were planning on going overseas.
Yes.
Whereas a lot of people don't go overseas. So
the arrears just sit there. Mm. But in saying that, if a person who's got arrears in child support files their tax return and they're getting a refund, that refund will go to meet those arrears. So the person will never get their refund. The refund will go to, you know, the person who's in receipt of child support.
So those are the two main methods of enforcement, because again, if someone, say, runs their own business, then that may be a situation where they don't actually get much in terms of a refund.
That's right. But, you know, sometimes people who run their own business the end result is they pay very little in child support because their taxable income after all the deductions from their business mean that their income is small. But there are options for a person who is supposed to be receiving child support who knows that their partner or ex-partner is receiving a lot more in income. You know, their taxable income might show $30,000 a year, but they're travelling overseas three times a year, they're driving around in a Mercedes. Clearly that's not their income, and there's ways to deal with that, but that's a bit more complicated and probably something for another day. And that the other thing that parties can do is enter into what's called a binding child support agreement, where they reach an agreement between themselves, and that can include weekly child support, payment of school fees, you know, other education expenses, medical expenses. So the people move right away from the Child Support Agency and just say, we want to do the best by our children. This is how we're going to work it out. And that is a binding agreement and can only be terminated by agreement between both parties.
And at what stage in the process is this all worked out? Is it once custody issues have been resolved, they then go on, or can it be at any stage?
It can be at any stage. You find that a lot of people, as soon as they separate and there are children, they will go straight to the Child Support Agency and ask for an administrative assessment because, you know, when parties separate, they've been used to having both, if they're both working, two incomes in the household. Now there's only one. You know, there's the need for that extra financial support. So people will often quite quickly go to the Child Support Agency to get that administrative assessment in place to receive that support.
There's a bit of urgency about it, obviously.
Well, sometimes there is, yeah. Look, not always. I mean, sometimes if people separate, but they're willing to work together and, you know, the husband will continue to make some payments if the wife's not working towards mortgage, towards living expenses. But of course, you know, there's no one size fits all in family law. So, you know, that doesn't happen all the time. So there's a need for that financial support. So,
yeah, and you mentioned in there that there's a few different ways to go about paying. And obviously one of them is sort of an informal arrangement. What are the other ways and how does that all work?
Well, the parties, as I said, would have a look and see what they... if it's the husband, would have a look and say, well, I'm supposed to pay $150 a week. I will just pay that to you. Mm-hmm. I'll put it into your bank account and let's not go through the Child Support Agency. And look, that may work well for people. But, you know, if you want a more formal arrangement in place, it's by administrative assessment or through the binding child support agreement. But they can be, you know, costly to draw up and then both parties have to have independent legal advice about the effects of that agreement on their rights and also the advantages and disadvantages of entering into it. So, but a lot of people do choose to do that because it can include extra things like school fees and the things I mentioned before. Whereas once you receive a payment of child support, that's it. That's all that you're entitled to get from the other, the person who's working. So it's the husband. You can't then, well, you can try, but you can't then turn around and say, well, In addition, I want you to pay half of the school fees, for instance, because that child support you receive through the agency is to cover the children's living expenses. Even if it doesn't, you know, that's all the payer is obliged to pay.
And obviously people have different opinions about, well, what sort of school should the person go to, and obviously they're at different price points as well.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
but
difficult.
In saying that, if parties during their relationship have agreed that their children will attend at a private school, then the child support agency will take that into account, because there's other provisions in the Act in relation to child support where a certain percentage of the child support you pay can go towards school fees. So you can say, the payer can say, okay, I'm paying $200 a week, I want a certain percentage of that to go to the school fees. And then that can alleviate some of the concerns about the person paying child support, that the money's not going to the children because it's going directly to the school for the school fees. So, but if you've agreed during the course of your marriage that your children are going to go to private schools, then that should be, if there's an argument, what's in place after in relation to child support.
So that could be calculated, that the school fees are part of them,
yep. Yes. Only a certain percentage can be.
Yeah. The other thing, of course, if there's a sort of an informal arrangement and people are just paying money and putting money into someone's bank account, would that person have to keep bank statements to show that they have been making payments?
Well, that would always be we would always recommend that you keep a paper trail of anything that you're paying towards the other party, because that may be taken into account. You know, and then it's evidence that you have been paying it if the person receiving the child support turns around and says, well, sorry, I didn't get anything. I wasn't receiving anything. They haven't been paying child support.
And what happens if the person hasn't been paying child support because there hasn't been an agreement in place, then they decide to go to the child support agency? Well, I mean, do you have to back pay or
well,
not?
Well, it's harder to get the back pay, but, you know, if you do that, you may not get the back pay, but at least you know that there's going to be certainty from here on in that you're going to receive your child support, especially if the payer is a salary and wage earner, or PAYG, you know, so pay as you go. And then employers will deduct it from the pay. So the person who's the payer doesn't actually get it in their pocket. It just goes straight to the person who's supposed to receive it. So at least there's certainty in that respect. And just, I mean, even with a binding child support agreement, there isn't certainty because the person can choose not to pay, but then you can... the court can enforce that. But all of that costs money, as we've discussed lots of times, Mitch, about
that's right.
The cost of taking any matter to court is it's better to try to resolve it between yourselves. And maybe for a lot of people, the child support agency is the best way to do that. And that's why probably the majority of people do it that way, through the child support agency.
And any other big myths that people have when they come to you, and obviously they want advice and guidance of these matters, are there any other things that people think are going to go a certain way, but in fact that's not the case?
Well, I think the thing I said before is that people often want the additional support for the extra things, you know. Oh, well, a very common one seems to be braces. You know, they're a big ticket expense item. And look, there are ways under the Act that governs child support where you can make a claim through the agency for those bigger ticket items in addition to child support, as well as receiving the child support. But, you know, it's, as I said, it's a very complex Act, and if anybody has got any questions, it's best to get legal advice about it.
Yeah, that sounds good, because, for example, the braces could be a very subjective thing. One person thinks they need it, the other person thinks they're not. So whether it's a necessity or not is subject to opinion. And if you're on $35,000 a year, you're not necessarily going to want to spend $5,000 on braces. So,
but often people will go to the dentist or orthodontist, and, you know, if the orthodontist says it's necessity, most people will accept that. But then, you know, it is a real issue about who actually pays for it, because, as you say, if people are on small incomes, it's not a possibility for a lot of people.
Yep, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming. That was a very informative discussion, so good on you, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Mitch.
Good on you, Anna Lachlan there from Coulter Roche Lawyers.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.